He going to class. To get me away from that preacher.
He's going to where the church
is. That's right.
He's ready to go.
Yes.
Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17 this morning. We'll continue our study. Thank you again for supporting our missionary last week by coming out and listening to him and hearing his heart and his ministry. He sends his gratitude for that. He told me to let you know he's very, very thankful for the love offering and the generosity of the donation you gave him above and beyond what you had to do, but what the Lord allowed you to do, and he's very, very thankful for that, as well as his family. His son is doing okay. For those who are trying to keep up on an update of that, his son had that T-bone collision with that lady last Saturday evening. The lady, I'm not sure what her status is. I haven't heard in a couple days. But do continue praying for the Severs family in that aspect. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. We'll continue our study in biblical separation and what it means to be biblically separated from the world. 2 Corinthians 6, 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye what, church? Separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Biblical separation is the practice of separating from sin and error so that you can live in truth and righteousness. Now, good morning, girls. Can someone show these girls where their Sunday school class is, please? Biblical separation is a practice of separating from sin. So when we practice something, it's like this. How are we going to get good at shooting a bow and arrow? We're going to practice shooting it, right? We're not going to go deer hunting and never pick up a bow and arrow and just say, "I'm going to go bow hunting today, and I'm going to make a perfect shot the first time. I'm going to do it from 50 yards away. I'm going to nail that thing, and no matter what, I don't need to practice. I know that I got this under control." How many know that's foolish? Well, folks, look. Trying to live like a Christian, but not on purpose trying to live like a Christian, and understanding that we are indeed new creatures created in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. The Bible says, "Behold, all things are become new." We've got to take that and start practicing that. And by doing that, in other words, what we got to do is say, "There's some things I used to do before I became a Christian." Amen? And there's some things that I know that I used to do that I ought not do anymore. So whenever the devil tempts me to do that, I got to on purpose practice saying no to the devil. So it's the practice of separating from sin and error so that you can live in truth and righteousness. The Bible makes it clear that there is a division, a big gap between right and wrong. See, a lot of Christians like to live in what we call the gray areas of life. They want to live in just a little bit of sin because it appeals to their flesh, but they still want the blessings from God that God said he would give you if you would seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, we cannot live in gray areas and expect and wonder why God is not blessing our homes, why God is not blessing our marriage, why God is not allowing me to be a better dad, why God is not allowing me to be a better mom, why my children won't listen to me, why every time I tell my children something, they look at me and say, "Hey, you want me to do that? But I know how our home is. You live one way in church, but we see you 7 days a week, Dad. Mom, we know who you really are." Listen, God cannot bless you living in the gray areas. He could, but let me just be blunt with you. He's not going to. He expects you to do what he asked you to do. There's a big gap between right and a big gap between wrong. Think about America today versus America 100 years ago. You know, there'd be people shunned for even mentioning the thought of killing an unborn child. People wouldn't even want to sit around and discuss that. Now, people are saying, "How can we legalize killing unborn babies? What are some different ways that we can, you know, how can we convince young people that it's not really a living being inside of its mother?" This is what we're talking about. Listen, folks, we know that's wrong, right? There's no in between. That's wrong. It's of the devil. It's straight out of a place called hell is what it is. It's of the devil. When anything that involves killing, the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So if it's involving killing and murder, and the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, who's it about? It's about the devil. And we've got to identify our enemy and learn to say no. There is a gap between right and wrong. But oh, the gray areas of life where it doesn't matter how we live. Folks, can I say, if you're going to be a Christian and you want to your life to first of all reflect, I mean, listen, besides what other, you might be one of these kind of people that just say, I don't really care what other people think about me. But let me tell you something. If you're married, you're a liar if you think you don't care what your wife thinks about you. Because I care what she thinks. I might get in the flesh and get angry and say, I don't care what you think. But at the end of the night, guess who I got to go home to? Guess who I have to sit down and conversate with? Guess who I have to sit in the same room with? Guess who controls the spirit of your home, husband? And when she's not happy because you're choosing to live in sin, you're not going to be happy at home. Forget it. You better care what your wife thinks. You better care what your husband thinks. And you better care what your children think. And you better care what your grandchildren think, because they're watching you. You want them to do right, but you don't want to do right. Folks, we've got to make a decision that we're going to, on purpose, live a biblical separated life. Christians are different not by accident, but by our new nature. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Back just one chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. We're not different by accident. For the love of Christ, what does it say, church? Constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto what, church? Themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what this is saying, if you are indeed blood-bought, born again, heaven-bound with the hammer down, ain't got time to mess around, this is talking to you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's no he is becoming a new creature. There's no you might be a new creature. Listen, folks, if you are saved by faith through grace, or by grace through faith in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone, none other name under heaven where given among men whereby you must be saved, if you are indeed saved, you are a new creature. You are a new creature. Look what it says. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, what happens when you're lost is your spirit man is dead. But see, when Jesus Christ comes in, he quickens, or he makes alive that spirit. And now we have the Holy Spirit of God living within us that is 100%, I said 100% contrary to sin. He hates sin. So what he does to your spirit is he alivens it, he quickens it, he makes it alive. And he automatically gives you a desire to do right. He gives you the ability to discern good and evil. He gives you the ability to say, that's right, that's wrong. The Bible says it, I believe it. The Bible doesn't say it, I don't believe it. He gives you the ability to discern good and evil. He gives you the ability to not be confused about those situations. By the way, the Bible says that God is not the author of what, church? Confusion. So if you're living in a confused state, who does that have to be? It has to be the devil. There's never going to be a time where you can say, well, God, you're confusing me. That's a lie. That's the devil lying to you. God is not the author of confusion. There's no in-between. This Bible's not hard to understand. Oh, but it's hard to put to practice, isn't it? We know what it says, but it's a choice to do right. And by the way, it's a choice to do wrong. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us, or restored us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Who's this talking about, church? It's talking about Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's all by God's design that we are different. Because of this, we are called to help reconcile others to Christ. You say, what do you mean? Well, what I mean is, if you and I will learn to practice being biblically separated, and again, I'm not talking about going out, living in the woods, never talking to anybody, doing your own. I'm talking about on purpose saying, look, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and I am not ashamed of it. There's some things that I used to do that my old flesh would love to still do, Brother Scott. My flesh would love that. But oh, my spirit man says, no, 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 brother. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve mammon? Is it going to be God or in the Bible they called Satan Belial? Who's it going to be? Choose you this day whom you will serve. But look, we've got to make a decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's got to be a biblical separation. God does not call us to be weird or different, but different by design, a special kind of different that is godly, clean, pure, wholesome, and Christ-like. We have a different heart the moment we were born again. The Bible says we were a new creature. We were born into a different family. By the way, we're no longer in the devil's family. So why on earth would we want to relate to the devil? You ever think about that? Why would we want to do anything that brings honor to the devil? I mean, every time you sin, the devil's jumping for joy. And every time you do right, all of heaven's rejoicing. Every time you do right, the devil has to flee. Every time you resist the devil, he has to flee. And folks, look, don't let anybody ever tell you, here's a big lie that everybody needs to stop believing. He made me do it. No one made you do it. Folks, when it boils down to it, you do what you want to do, right? Because God doesn't put you on a leash and make you do anything. God did not make you get saved. Now, he convicted you unto salvation. He prompted you and let you know your need for the Holy Spirit of God so that you didn't die and go to a place called hell. But I've never seen anyone, whether they came down to an altar or whether they met somebody back there or whether they went to a Sunday school, I've seen people led to the Lord in the mall parking lot. Folks, but look, no one ever had a rope tied around their neck and drugged to a preacher or drugged to another Christian and had them open the Bible and said, you're going to get saved right now. No one ever did that. You got saved because God convicted you and you chose to be saved. Correct? You chose that. When we sin, folks, we choose to do wrong. We've got to call sin what it is. It is a choice that we make to do wrong. It's a choice to, when someone says something to us, to react in anger. Is it not? It's a choice to do right, by the way. And why is it so much harder to do right? Well, it's because when we do wrong, our flesh is satisfied. And we're constantly fighting a battle. Spirit against the flesh and flesh against the spirit. But I'll tell you what, the Bible is still true. The next time your husband or your wife or your kids or anybody just says something to you that just makes you want to knock their teeth out. That's what my grandma used to say. I'll knock your teeth down your throat. I'm like, oh, please don't. But I believed her. I remember one time we were sitting at the dinner table and, you know, people always ask me things like, what's the biggest difference in the North and the South? I've lived in both, and I'll tell you the biggest difference for me is in the North, if somebody don't like something, they're allowed to say it, like food. Okay, if you're sitting at somebody's table and you don't want to eat it up there, you know what I'm talking about. You live in New York. People up there, they don't get their feelings hurt about that kind of stuff. They're like, if you don't like it, whatever. Here, I was always taught this. If you don't like my food, don't you dare tell me you don't like that food. I remember one time, and honestly, if you ever make this and you make your kids eat this, you ought to be, you know. My grandma made this thing called carrot and raisin salad. See what I'm saying? That's what I thought. You like that? Oh, my Lord. We're talking about carrots, mayonnaise, and raisins. Disgusting. Well, and she knew I didn't like carrots, and I can't stand the texture of a raisin, and I like mayonnaise on a ham sandwich, not on carrots and raisins. You see what I'm saying? It's disgusting. Well, she put this on my plate one night, and I'm telling you, I'm like, okay, here's the rule. If you don't like it, don't say you don't like it. I mean, don't ever say you don't like it, but don't not try it either. That's the thing. I'm like, oh, the smell of this stuff was getting me, okay? And I took a little bite of that stuff, and as soon as it hit my tongue, it was like, I almost lost it on the table. And she said, you throw up on my table. I said, this is disgusting. And before I got the word disgusting out of my mouth, the back of her hand came across my cheek. She sat right here. I sat right here. And I watched my grandpa about lose his plate by the time she hit me across the face. It was bad. And she said, now you're going to eat all of it. Oh, guys, listen, here's how that ended. I ate it all, and somehow it made it to right here. I don't even know how I stored it. But I'm telling you, I said, I'm done. I'm not eating anything else. I'm finished. I'm sorry. I said, can I please go outside? Before I got off the carport good, every bit of that carrot and raisin salad came out in that yard, and it was just became fertilizer in her flower bed. But I'm saying, there's some things that we don't like, right? And there's some things we do like. But that's the biggest difference in the North and the South. You know, up there, you can tell them you don't like it. They don't care. But down here, there was just some rules that you knew you're going to have to follow. And that was one of them. You didn't want to be rude. But we're born into a different family. We're no longer in the devil's family. We now have a different, get this, we now, as new creatures, have a different destination. Isn't that cool to think about that? You know, I saw a preacher one time. He was preaching at a preacher's conference. And, you know, some preachers get real annoyed when they're preaching their heart out. And it seems like they're preaching to 2x4s sometimes. You know, people aren't. They're just ready to go home. Well, this preacher, he said, hey, if there's nothing else you can be excited about, how about this? You can't go to hell. Isn't that good? Isn't it good to know that no matter what I do, no matter where I've been, no matter what I say, I can't go to hell? But folks, don't confuse that. You do not have the freedom to sin because you are saved. You are free from sin because you are saved. There's a huge difference. Most people look at it in the aspect of, well, I'm going to heaven, can't lose my salvation. I might as well go live how I want to. Folks, that's wrong. You know what you're doing? You're losing treasures in heaven that you could be laying up for yourself. There's people all around you watching that are lost, that your testimony could be encouraging them to be better. You just never know. No, you'll never be the reason someone physically gets saved, because I don't believe a human being can convict unto salvation. I just don't believe that. I'm sorry if you do. That's not biblical. God, His Holy Spirit, is the convictor. But oh, He can use you as a tool. He absolutely can use you to make a difference in somebody's life. Did you know we even have a different diet? And I'm not talking about food diets here. I'm talking about our diet now consists of the Word of God. It consists of truth instead of lies. It consists of prayer instead of no prayer. It consists of singing praises to God versus listening to the devil's music and honoring him. Folks, everything changes when you are born again. Everything. We have different thrills in life. Some are going to call us boring. But can I tell you something? I love going to church. How many like going to church? I mean, church to me is not something that I dread on Saturday nights. It's just not. And, you know, one of my favorite things to do is come over here during the week. And I've only been a pastor for about 3 months. But, see, being a youth pastor, I never had the time on my hands to study and do the things that I get to do now, which I'm very grateful for. I'm so thankful that you've entrusted me to be able to do that, and you financially have agreed to support my family so that I can have time to do that. But one of my favorite things to do is to come over here, just flip the light on and the fan on back there, and open my Bible, and it's quiet, and it's just me and the Lord, and pray and study and learn myself, and the Lord shows me things. That's one of my favorite things to do, and I love it when God says, okay, this is what I want you to give to the church on Sunday. And then I start praying about it, and I'm like, Lord, I don't want to mess this up. I want them to hear from you. I don't want them to hear from me. And He just says, Drew, I already told you what you need to do. Just be faithful. Just do what I tell you to do. That's one of my favorite things, is looking forward to Sunday morning. And then when it gets here, and I get to see your faces, I get to see your smiles, I get to see your children. I love looking at the pictures of junior church after church and all the kids that are over. I mean, does anyone else love that? Does that bring a smile to your heart and to your face when you just see that the Lord is working right here at New Hope Independent Baptist Church? I am so thankful for what we have here. That thrills my soul. You know, I don't have to worry about finding my fun in a drunken stupor on a Friday night anymore. That used to be what I looked forward to through the week when I was in high school. I'd be like, man, where are we going this Friday night after the game? How many beers are we going to drink this time? You know what I'm saying? That used to be fun to me, to think about that and brag about that stuff. Well, look, folks, you know what all that is? Carnal, fleshly lust is all that is. We as Christians have got to find thrill in fellowship with other believers. Folks, if you have a hard time being around believers, 9 times out of 10, it's not their fault. We might think that, oh, well, I can't go around them because I'm just going to feel judged. Folks, look, if you have that thought, the question is, why do you have that thought, first of all? What are you doing in your own life that makes you as a Christian feel like you cannot fellowship with other believers? Again, most of the time the problem's right in the mirror if you'll just look. That's something I had to realize. Why didn't I like going around church people? Because they were going to tell me, don't do this, 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 don't do this. And I wanted to do this and this and this, and it was all contrary to the Word of God. And all they were trying to do is show me, Drew, you're making a mistake. You're hurting your mom, you're hurting your dad, you're hurting your grandparents, you're hurting your friends. You're going to end up being just like the ones that hurt you. And guess what? They were right. And man, when I realized that, and I started listening and understanding that the Bible teaches there's some wisdom and safety in the multitude of counselors. Listen, anytime somebody tries to open the Bible and show you something and help you, this is real help, folks. This is not fake. This book is not dead. It's alive today, just like it was alive when Moses walked up to that Red Sea and God parted it. It's the same book that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of a fiery furnace. It's the same book that delivered Daniel out of the lion's den, out of the den of lions. It's the same book that Noah believed when God said, hey, bud, it's going to rain. And for 40 years, not a drop of rain happened. But oh, when that rain started falling, the rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. Hey, look, when that rain started falling and them waters started coming up, I bet you Noah was so thankful that he didn't listen to those people and he didn't listen to their ideas and he didn't listen to the devil's lies. I'll bet you he's thankful that his wife and his boys and his daughter-in-laws were okay because they were safe. Because why? Because he was different. Because he was separated. Because Noah believed God. Folks, how much better would our families be if we just believe God? Why on earth would you want to ask a lost man marital advice? Why would you want to ask a broke man financial advice? Why would you ask a big guy for diet advice? You see what I'm saying? We can laugh at those things, but we'll never go to the source where we know we can get some real help for our families. You want to know what would make New Hope Independent Baptist Church the most popular place in the church world? Is if our families would agree, if moms and dads, first of all, would agree with each other that this right here is the final authority in their home. No matter what, we're going to go to the Bible and we're going to see what the Bible says. And if the Bible says this is what we need to do, that's what we're going to do. And as soon as those babies realized mom and dad are not going to compromise on God's word, hey, guess what? As the home goes, so goes the church. What would happen if all of our homes were to agree, this is our authority? Folks, the walls would blow off of this building. This building wouldn't even be thinking about holding the members that would be here, the folks that would be here. The spiritual world would, for the Lord in Red Level, Alabama, I just can't imagine what would happen if all of our families would unite around the fact that God's word is real, it's true, it's not going to change, God cannot lie, He cannot fail me, He's not going to leave me, He's not going to forsake me. Folks, God loves you. And we've got to understand that. It's all part of God working in us that salvation that we're different. Serving God is never boring. But can I say this? It's always rewarding. And by the way, the reward might not be right now. But I'll tell you something. I was telling Sister Paige and Brother Terry last week when we were sitting over there eating how much, and this is hard to say, but I miss the youth pastor days sometimes. I love young people. And it might be just because I'm only in my 30s. I love all church people. Don't get me wrong. But there's something about watching a young man who grew up in a broken home similar to what I grew up in and who's struggling in life, and you take him under your wing and you love him and you preach to him and you just invest your time, your money, everything you can invest into this boy, spiritually, physically, emotionally, pray for him. And all of a sudden, a preacher comes down. I'm reliving a fact that happened here. A preacher comes down from Fairbanks, Alaska to Seward on a Wednesday night, and he preached on open rebuke is better than secret love. It's in the book of Psalms. And at the end of that, he had an altar call, and I'm sitting next to the kid. And see, here's something else. So, if you're sitting next to somebody that's tried to invest in you, he's sitting on the inside by the window, Brother Scott. He's got to walk by me, by a couple of my kids to get to the altar. And I'm telling you, I wasn't expecting this, but I was praying that the Lord was convicting him. And he tapped me on my leg. He said, "Get out of my way." I said, "What's up, buddy?" He said, "Move. I got to get to that altar." And I'll tell you what, that preacher met him down there, and he looked at me, and before I could even think, I was shouting for joy in the middle of the altar call. I went out with him, and I took him to a classroom. He said, "Drew, I'm tired of fighting. I can't do this anymore. I know that if I don't get to come back to church ever again and I die before Sunday morning, I'm going to hell." He said, "I don't want to do that." I said, "Buddy, let's take care of that." And I was able to open the Bible and show that young man biblically how he could know where his eternity could be. And folks, he got saved. And look, like I said, and that took 2 years of investment. There was plenty of times where the devil said, "Why don't you just go invest in someone else? He's never going to get saved." But what does your Bible say? That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all... Now, does that mean everybody's going to get saved? Nope. But I can rest assured on this. If God's not willing that they should perish, there's a real good chance they could get saved. Anyone can. That's the thing. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But folks, I'll tell you what. That reward was great that day when that young man, and today... He calls me, and he talks to my boys, and he reminds me. He says, "You know, I'm so thankful that you didn't give up on me. I'm so thankful that you didn't quit, even though you should have. I'm so thankful for the time and the prayers and the making me come to church, picking me up on Sunday morning, picking me up on Sunday night." There'd be times, folks, I was real close to his mom and dad, and there'd be times his dad showed me where the spare key was on the outside. This is how crazy it was. Sometimes on Sundays I'd go there, and his dad said, "Look, if we're not home, here's a spare key. Just go in and wake him up." So I'd get the key. I'd wake him up, knock on his door. "What are you doing?" "I'm trying to sleep." I said, no, bud. "You're coming to church today." And guess what? He'd get up. Sometimes we'd show up last minute. But hey, the reward is so great. And now when we get to heaven, guess what? I'll get to spend eternity with that young man. Folks, don't ever let the devil tell you that the time you spend with the Lord is not rewarding. God not only calls us to be different, but to stay different. Not to just be different, but to stay different. Instead of starting out godly and clean and ending up filthy like the world around us. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. We're almost done. 2 Peter chapter 2. God wants us to stay different. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. The Bible says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. You know what he's saying here? As bad as you had it before you were saved, for you to get saved and then on purpose choose to rebel against God and God's word, no, you're not going to die and go to hell if you're saved. But look, God said it's going to be worse for you than it was before. Verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. By the way, this is New Testament, folks. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Look at Proverbs 26:11, and we're done. Folks, God don't just want us to be different. He wants us to stay different. Proverbs 26 and verse number 11. As a dog returneth to his own vomit, the Bible says, so a fool returneth to his folly. Folks, I don't know about you this morning, but I don't want to be known as the fool that returned to my folly and my old ways just because I took for granted that God has saved my soul. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for those who are here. Pray for the ones who are coming in. Pray for our kids' services today, our kids' church, our junior church. Pray for the ones who are helping there. Bless us now in this next hour. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.